short-term variable rate debt. Essentially, you'd issue 30-year bonds on variable rate debt, but you always had it backed up with a derivative. But in the short term, it was anywhere from 2 to 5 years in most places before you had to get a new vehicle for support. And once the derivative started, municipalities got hammered, and it was a debacle for them too, and it was really bloodletting.
Well, I'll give the simple history to this is when guys like Brennan were young, you know, way a long time ago, not me, you know, that was like last week for me. No. Brennan and Brian were young about the same time. If your savings and loan, for those who don't even know what those things are, every community, I mean, had several of them competing, and they had to do, they had certain rights from government, but essentially their charter wasn't 85% of the loans had to be mortgages?
Yeah,
Brennan, something like that. It was 80 or
most of them were right from the local community.
Yes, but somewhere between 80 and 90, you know, and mm-hmm. you couldn't have demand deposits. For those that don't know what that means, a demand deposit is a checking account. So the only account that you have that is considered a demand deposit, even though the Fed has decided not to tell us what M1 is anymore, is because they put M1 in with M2, which I don't know why nobody ever calls these guys on all of a sudden not giving us information. But anyway, M1 used to be cash and essentially checking deposits because you could walk into a bank and demand it. Hence the name demand deposit. Savings account, even though you could always go into a savings and loan and take money out of your savings account, almost like if it was a regular bank, the fact is it said on there you could be delayed, 30 days, was it, Brennan? My memory's fading.
I think it was up to 30 days, yeah.
Theoretically, they could, if there was a run, they could put a hold on it, okay? So the savings and loan business plan was really very simple. I mean, I remember, when your parents got their first house, what was their mortgage? I think mine was like six and a half, somewhere in there, right, Brennan? It was there. It was that number
forever.
Yeah,
I'm thinking like 5.5%.
Yeah,
maybe 6.
So somewhere between.
And it was with Amity Federal Savings and Loan on 87th Street.
Yeah, we were a Concordia. I remember Amity. Matter of fact, it turned into a bank. One of Kathy's friends wanted me to get a group together and buy the place because they had like 3 locations.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but my parents got theirs through Concordia, which was on. They were on 63rd and Halsted. And then, mm-hmm. And then they moved to Evergreen Plaza, remember?
63rd and Western.
Maybe it was 63rd and Western. It was somewhere along 63rd Street, and then they moved to... anyway, but they went there, and there was an Evergreen Park savings and loan. There was an Oak Lawn. And the business...
Tallman
was huge. Tallman was downtown. They were the...
Was the 55th and Kedzie. Was around 55th and Kedzie. They were the whole southwest side.
Well, they had every Lithuanian in the world in Marquette Park had their mortgage there. Right.
Yep, back of the yard was completely financed by Tallman.
Yep. And then the one down here was First Federal, the weather bell corner. It had the big bell in the corner, right?
Yep.
Anyway.
You could always tell the weather by the color of the bell on the outside of the building.
Yeah.
That bell's still there, but they don't use it.
No, yeah, it's still there, I think.
That's a shame.
But
I don't know what the weather's like when I walk by the corner anymore.
God. But the model was very simple. I mean, you put your money in a savings account at Evergreen Savings and Loan or Concordia or Amity or whatever. You got 3.25, right, Brendan? Somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
And the mortgages, I'm going to say, were, like Brendan says, somewhere between 5.75 and 6.25 or 6.5. They never really varied from that much, I don't think. And then, so you have essentially a 3% margin. Would you pay the people, paid the building? Nobody made a gazillion dollars. The president of the place probably made what? 3 times, 4 times more than a teller, right? I mean, it was, you know, this was the old days. And they sponsored 15 bowling leagues and little leagues, right? So they bought t-shirts for every little league team. So I mean, and then all of a sudden, what happened with the Fed and the money supply issue and the inflation, they had to start paying 12% on the passbook money. Okay, so the 12% of the passbook money, because you actually did have a passbook. Man, did you ever even see a passbook?
Yeah.
Well, when you were young, they had them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't imagine you get one anymore, can you? I doubt it.
I don't know.
Anyway.
I don't think so.
So anyway, all of a sudden now everybody would know that would be an instrument for disaster if you're paying 12% and you're only getting 6. So enter these places all go under. All these properties are now sold off to other people. Well, one of the biggest other people was GE. And I don't know if they, I don't know that they participated in the Resolution Trust necessarily, but they were involved in the whole game. So commercially, they went out and they said, okay, we're a triple A credit rating. So we can actually borrow short term, you know, essentially all the money we want. And these rates are just only going down. So they were picking stuff up at like tremendous discounts, but they were paying essentially through their short term, because they had a triple A rating at that time, I believe, and they would pay short term. And for the next 20 years, the short term rates just went down like every quarter. And they, Brennan, so they mm-hmm. bought places essentially saying, okay, we're paying 15%, but we can afford it based on the price we're getting the place. And the 15% became 14 and three quarters, 14 and a half, finally down to nothing right now, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So they did exactly what most people would tell you never to do, but the timing was right. And then GE Capital ended up being bigger than the whole rest of GE, if I recall. And they, well, you know what, they lost Brennan, and you probably comment more on that, I think they were not like Procter & Gamble that somehow kept really good people in every product line. I think the mentality of GE Capital, and these guys were fat and happy, essentially overwhelmed the rest of the firm. We don't care about no engine guys, or we don't care about consumers. We got so much money coming in on this genius thing that, what's the guy's name? The old guy that married,
Jack Welch.
He married the young girl who was writing his biography.
Jack Welch, wasn't it?
Yeah, and didn't he marry the, well, he had an original wife, okay, mm-hmm. and then he dumped her for the trophy wife. But then the trophy mm-hmm. wife became the dumpee, because some lady was, she was a Harvard professor, was going to write his biography. She ended up with her.
I can't remember her name.
Yeah, I don't remember her name. But the weird part is, the second wife is totally outraged, right? Even though she did that to the first wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anyway. But now GE is now splitting off.
You can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't. You could, if you wrote fiction like this, you couldn't sell a book. But it's just, I have a question for you, though, Brennan, in terms of our, it seems like it almost doesn't matter now from Bush 1 on down. Bush 1 resisted it, in my opinion. This idea of this imperial presidency. Now, you can blame Congress for not doing their job. You can blame a bunch of stuff. But get to the point where every single guy in there wants to take more and more power and wants to be essentially a dictator. And for a while, mm-hmm. people blamed it all on the Republicans. But that's not true anymore. It's both sides. Now, this is the second.
It is both times. It has been for a long time.
But now, this is the second time in this administration where the White House tells businesses to proceed with vaccine mandate despite court-ordered pause. Didn't the Supreme Court tell them not to do something, and they said, screw you, they're going to do it anyway, like a while ago when they first came in?
I don't think there's been a Supreme Court decision on this point yet.
No, not this one, but what was the one where the Supreme Court told them to stop something else, like 6 months or 8 months ago, and they told them to screw you, we're going to keep doing it anyway? It was, I don't know that it was vaccine.
Was it the border mandate?
Might have been the border mandate, yeah.
Yeah, I think it might have been the border mandate.
Well, I mean,
but I don't think there's not been a final resolution on either one of those by the Supreme Court.
Okay, but I guess my question is, I mean, I read the Constitution, 50 years ago? What enforcement power does a Supreme Court or an appeals court have if the president says, screw you?
That's a very interesting question, because there really is no enforcement. If you look at the Constitution, there are no default provisions and rights and remedies provisions in there, like you'd see in a contract. But a lot of it just goes on the agreement to have a balance of powers and to abide by the decisions of the court. The court is the arbiter of the legal challenges. Of course, that the presumption is that the decisions of the Supreme Court are fair and legitimate. And whichever side you're on, you can argue that that's not the case or hasn't been the case for at least 50 years, but other people would argue it's been that way for a lot longer period than that.
Well, I guess when it comes down to, I mean, and we as you know, I mean, the people on the show, some of them are actually actively involved in what's going on with this vaccine and stuff. So I get, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of stuff, and I just, well, put it this way, a very interested observer, because I don't want anybody that I know or people I don't know dying if they don't have to. But I think all along the way here, Brennan, these guys have been, they've amazingly oversold this vaccine. I will never say that it hasn't been one of the best things that's ever happened, because it stopped a lot of people from having the serious pieces of it. But I've been reading this since day one. And this thing was never designed, or it might have been designed, but it never has been shown to stop people from getting it or giving it to other people. It's a tremendous thing, because it mitigates your, in most cases, it mitigates your issues. So I would certainly encourage everybody to get it, but I think it's being totally oversold. And as time has gone by, it appears that natural antibodies to people who have already had it, unfortunately, or got through it, fortunately, are lasting a hell of a lot longer than the stuff that this thing. This is just facts. I mean, as months go by and other countries keep doing these studies, I'm not saying this is not a political statement on my part. They're saying in UK and Israel now, the people that have already had it, their antibodies are lasting 12 months. And every month it doesn't seem like they're decaying. But this is a really good thing. But now, you won't hear any people here saying anything about that. But now, they're really pushing this vaccine onto people, and they're jamming. They're essentially taking laws that the country, the government could never tell people what to do, but now they're telling essentially people they do business with that you as the head of GE or the head of PTI or whoever the hell it is, you get to tell people what to do, or you can fire them. I mean, this is a huge jump, Brennan. And my question is, what if there's a court says, no, you can't do that anymore, you got to stop? And they just push on, and it turns out, oh God, I hope it turns out that this vaccine is actually damaging to some people. Does that make Biden and these people, like, personally liable? I mean, what is the
fault? No, there won't be any personal liability, although I have to back up here, because we have some different, I don't want to say facts, because that kind of prejudices things, but I do think the vaccine was originally designed to prevent the illness. And I do think that there's a bigger discussion on the viability and the efficacy of the so-called natural immunity versus the vaccine immunity. So I do think that there are different approaches to both of those thoughts. And I do think that that it's evolving, because the virus was so novel that it is evolving.
I agree.
I think that's had a lot of confusion. I do think it's also been politicized. That if you have a certain political persuasion, you're going to be anti-vax completely. If you have another political persuasion, you're going to be pro-vax and mandate. I'll also add that this is not the first time that there have been any mandates of something like this, because we have mandates in school for things like measles, mumps, and rubella in smallpox. And we have other types of mandates to wear seatbelts in cars. So there are some other precedents around here, not just concerning this vaccination.
I would agree, except some of the people that are some people think it's too soon and it's been over. So I'll just, we don't want to discuss this much more, because we have other stuff to talk about. But I'll tell you this, Brent, from the day it started, okay, I got this report from somebody. It had to be a year ago, June. It had to do with the original tests of the Pfizer vaccine, or Moderna, it was one of the two. They got 40,000 people, and they gave 20,000 of the placebo. And plus, they give you something of placebo to make you not feel so good, so you don't know that you got the placebo. I didn't know that. You learn something every day. So they give it to 20,000 people, and they basically said, go out and multiply, basically. And if people reported back that they had a severe symptom or they croaked, that was the only report that people got. You were totally on your own. So the first 500 people that reported back and said they either have temperature, they have symptomatic COVID, or died, out of the first 500 people that came back, 450 of them were people who got the placebo, and 50 were people who got the vaccination. And that's where your original 90% came from. Nowhere in these original studies did they say, okay, out of the 20,000 people, we're going to have a random sample of 1,000, and we're going to give these people tests every week, and we're going to find out who actually gets it, if you can carry it. They never did any of that, which is fine with me, Brennan. I have no problem with that because I don't want people to get sick and I don't want people dying. But I'm just saying it is what it is. They never said you couldn't get it. They don't know. They didn't test. And sure enough, here we are, that guess what? It stops you from getting the, in most cases, it stops you from getting the severe symptoms and it stops you from dying. Which is terrific for me. It's a spectacular thing. But that's what it is. It's not when somebody comes on TV and says, oh no, if you take this vaccine, you won't get it and you won't spread it on. That's absolutely not true. It isn't. I mean, I've seen how many people that I know are friends of mine have had the vaccine and now got COVID. It's not true. Just saying. I mean, but it's a spectacular thing. But why does it have to be oversold?
Well, I think the overselling of it or the promotion of it is much more political right now, and it is trying to lessen the severity of the spread around the country.
Why is it here? I guess by the thing that's really a bug up my ass, to be honest with you, Brent, I am so tired of people that I pay their salary lying to me because they think they're smarter than me. I'm so over it. Whether it's the mayor, whether it's Pritzker, whether it's Trump, whether it's this guy. I'm so over it. Am I just being grumpy or what?
I think you're being grumpy.
Okay. Well, that's fine. I trust your job. But I mean, aren't you tired of these people telling you that they're peeing on your shoes and telling you it's raining? I mean, to me, I am. I'm just saying.
No, I agree with that. I do think that's a valid point. But I think it has become escalated for political reasons.
Oh, without a doubt.
And I think that makes it a lot worse. And each side digs in deeper and keeps escalating the battle between the two sides.
Well, but I will say this. I mean, from what I've been reading, there is no comparison between this thing and the measles vaccine. There's no comparison whatsoever. The measles vaccine is a vaccine. They give you the dead measles. Your body absolutely is convinced it got measles and it develops all the natural immunities that you would have if you actually had the measles. This does not do that. It was never designed to do that. They don't give you the whole thing. They give you the scratch protein, which is exactly where the mutations are happening. So they're changing. And now they're going to give you a booster that is the same shot they gave you a year and a half ago. And that disease hasn't been around for a year and a half. Anyway. But I'm saying, what happens if the, I don't think I've ever seen a White House ever, and you know my political, I'm right in the middle now. I don't like either side. I've never seen a White House say screw the Supreme Court. Even Roosevelt didn't do that. He tried to change it, the court, but he never defied him. I mean, no, we're just going to keep doing it. I mean, what does the Supreme Court do? They can't enforce it. Can they issue a subpoena? Can they throw the guy in jail?
They cannot throw them in jail. They don't have the power to throw them in jail. But this is not the first time there's been this type of pushback to the Supreme Court. You can go back to Marbury versus Madison in 1802 when Jefferson was, Adams was president. And that set the precedent that the court could interpret statutes and it had the validity of law. Now, at that time, the way that it was responded to is that legislature went along with that and said, okay. But there have been presidents all along. Roosevelt is one, but there have been a lot of presidents who have tried to defy the court and go against the court. So this seems like it's unique and it's the worst time only because we're in it right now. And
okay.
Things have changed so much over the last part of our memorable lifetime. People who were involved in the Roosevelt years are no longer around, or for the most part, if they are around, they're not very active or able to tell us a whole lot about it because of their mental faculties. But things like this have happened for a lot of our history.
Well, I'm sensing, Brendan, and maybe it's just you get observant, you get old, you get something. Drive around, walk around, listen to people. There is an incredible, almost an anarchy that's building. Obviously, you can tell it in the murders and stuff in Chicago, where people over a period of time don't believe any of these guys. I mean, every policeman's a bad person. I get to blow through every stop sign. I get to drive 150 miles an hour. Stevenson's closed again this morning because of some huge crash. I'll guarantee you one of the people there was going at least 90. There is no enforcement. There's no respect for any of the stuff that people used to have respect for. Now it's not the time for a president to say that I'm going to ignore the Supreme Court. We need a president who somehow is on the moral high ground. We need a Solomon, or what the Jewish people used to call him, a mensch. We need somebody who is above reproach and starts putting this Humpty Dumpty here back together again. And these guys aren't doing it. Every guy is just another scam. You know, it seems to me. And I think our whole fabric is being lost. You know, the other day, you know, in my industry, they have one of the senators is trying to put a law together saying the SEC can't stop payment for order flow. I'll bet if that buffoon sat down in his office and asked him to explain where payment for order flow came from, how it works, who gets hurt, who doesn't get hurt, I bet he has absolutely no idea of how to do that. And if I told him that the first person that did payment for order flow was Bernie Madoff, he'd probably be shocked, or maybe he wouldn't even care, or maybe he wouldn't even know what Bernie Madoff. These people do.
He might ask who Bernie Madoff is.
Yeah, he might ask who Bernie Madoff is. I mean, what do you think happens here, Brennan? I mean, right now, if the market collapses, I'm not so much worried about the market going down. Markets have gone down before. Some people have lost, some people have made, whatever. I don't know that. It's like the one thing holding society together is they're sending money to people.
Mm-hmm.
And what if that stops?
People will be in a lot worse condition, and it'll bring a lot more anger and a lot more finger pointing, and that will raise the ire of more people. Throw all the bums out.
Well, we're doing that. I think we're doing
it. It won't be any good for any incumbent of either party.
Well, I have a feeling, and I guess I don't care Republican or Democrat all that much, but right now it looks to me that the midterm elections are going to be an absolute landslide against the Democrats. But mm-hmm. what's starting to happen now is every 2 years we're going to change government. I don't know that that's the answer either. You?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that can't be the answer.
I think you're right. I think that there's historically usually been a swing against the party that controls the White House. The midterm elections in the House years ago, we saw it in the Obama years, we saw it in the Trump years, we saw it in the Bush and Clinton years. So there's usually that swing. And the difficulty for the Democrats right now is they've got such a slim majority right now that it's not going to take a whole lot of flips of House seats to give the Republicans control. And as long as Biden is president, a Democrat and president, it's going to be gridlock because everybody in the Republican House and or Republican Senate is going to be out to stop anything that Biden does under the guise that they can do better, even though they didn't get a lot done when they had all three houses,
right.
The White House, the House, and the Senate. So I do agree with you. It's getting to a really bad point of lack of government.
Well, yeah, I don't think we got a dash, Brennan. Are you in Michigan or are you here?
I'm in Michigan.
By the way, I love that thing you sent me the other day, the lady who finished her first marathon. What a great story. I mean, there's still good stuff going on in the world, isn't there?
There is still a lot of good stuff going on in the world. And I'd like to talk to you about sometime about that with the new stuff that I'm doing. The folks are seeing a lot more of those things. Did you see the one I sent you a couple weeks ago about painting the road?
I didn't see that one. I saw the one yesterday. Read it from cover to cover, but it was very interesting. So why don't we do that next Monday? We'll have to actually do something that, you know, or next Tuesday, something that's nice going on nice with the world. Are you have you done your last marathon? Are you officially retired, or are you gonna do a couple more?
I still have hopes to do some more, but right now I don't have anything on the schedule. I'm doing a little bit of running, but I'm not doing a lot of heavy duty training. I decided that I'm gonna, like I put in that email, to savor the moment, savor the accomplishment of 100 marathons around the world.
Yeah, you know, one-on-one doesn't sound as good.
It doesn't. It doesn't have that nice round figure that 100 does.
Well, you don't have to tell anybody. I'll never tell. Anyway, take care, buddy. SP Futures up 1.25 and NASDAQ Futures up 30. Be right back, Mr. Joel Alcannon.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know.
What?
Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more.
Close.
Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley. This is Mel Weber on the board. S&P futures up a whole 25 cents. NASDAQ futures up 29 bucks. Big news this morning is GE's going to split into three different divisions. I forgot that they were headquartered in Boston. But they are. They're up $7, 115.84. I don't really remember the math because they were down at like $10 and then I think they reverse split. I think it was 8 to 1. Might have been 10 to 1. Anyway, we'll do that. I'll have that math tomorrow. I'll figure out where this thing came from. But it's up 743. Dow futures down 38. Over in Europe, we've got DAX up 31.2%. FTSE up 3. Call that flat. CAC round up 19.3%. So slightly up over in Europe. Nikkei down 221. That's 0.75%. Shanghai down up 8.2%. Hang Seng, which has been down a bunch of days in a row, or not in a row, but just generally, it's up 49.2%, so a little bit of bounce. Yesterday we did, Dow was up 104. We had a couple stocks that were up a bunch, Caterpillar being one of them. S&P up 4, and NASDAQ up 10. So we were actually up, we were actually down a little part during the day, but then it came right back. Bonds, 1.46. Bonds continue to go up and rates go down, even though we're supposedly tapering. Anybody believes these guys? I don't know. I got a bridge for you. The Bund, minus 0.27, it got down to minus 0.08, and Japan is steady at positive 0.06. So, if the if these guys are pulling money out of the system and are not putting as much into the system, and the bonds are going the other way, I obviously question whether they're doing what they say they're doing. Oil up 35 cents, 82.28. Brent up 26 cents, 83.69. Natural gas down 9 cents, 5.32. RBOB is up 2 cents to 234. We've got gold down 220, but still 1825. Silver down 8 cents, 2445. As we've had a pretty good rally in gold in the last few days. Copper up 2 cents, 442. The thing that's on fire is just crypto. Up to 67,557 on a Bitcoin. It's up 1590. Mehdi, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have the significant crash that happened earlier this morning on the inbound. It's actually on the outbound Stevenson, but it's affecting both sides. I-55 southbound between 355 and back all the way up to Kingery, which is Route 83, due to a multi-car crash with injuries that happened earlier this morning. Crews are still on the scene, but it has not only southbound I-55 blocked, but the I-355 entrance and exit ramps are also blocked. So just a complete mess. They're diverting traffic onto Route 83 to get around that, but expect significant delays of up over an hour if you're heading outbound on I-55. And on the inbound side, there's slow, nasty traffic there due to the gapers and the diverted traffic there as well. So that's just a nasty area, I-55 right near 355 in the southwest suburbs. That's our biggest concern this morning. No issues coming in on the Ryan, I-57, or the Bishop Ford. Further inbound on the Stevenson is a lot quieter than normal, as you would imagine, because of the closure as you get further outbound. Eisenhower traffic starting to build, but no accidents to report. Same for the Edens and Kennedy. Only other crash in the area right now is Route 53 on the westbound side just before Gulf Road. There's an overturned vehicle that has the left lane blocked with crews on the scene. Weather today, another nice fall day, but not as nice as it has been. We'll be a few degrees cooler and we'll have overcast skies, but a high of 58. Right now it is mostly cloudy and 57 degrees downtown, so we'll hang right around here in the upper 50s today. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy with a high of 82. Right now it's clear and 58. In sports, the Bears were 14 down in the fourth quarter before they rallied back and actually took a lead with under 2 minutes to go in Pittsburgh, but gave up a field goal that put them down two and then missed a 65-yard field goal that would have given them the win as the Bears fall in Pittsburgh 29-27, dropping to 3-6 on the year. Taking a quick look at the stats, Justin Fields had probably his best game as a Bear, 17 of 29, 291 yards, certainly his most yards. He had a touchdown. He had the one interception that was the tip pass at the line of scrimmage. He also had a touchdown called back by a phantom penalty, which ultimately probably cost the Bears a game. But Justin Fields played well. Bears ran the ball really well. 26 carries, 136 yards as a team, 5.2 yards a carry, including the 15-yard touchdown run from Darnell Mooney. And then Cole Kmet had his best game as a Bear as well. 6 catches for 87 yards, a 14.5-yard average. He was targeted 8 times as they're starting to really get him involved. But the defense could not get enough pressure, couldn't get the big stops when they needed it, and then the special teams turnover, and then we won't even get into the officials. But the Bears are heading into the bye week at 3-6 with some positive signs on offense, but still a lot of work to do if they're going to be a respectable team here in the second half. The Bulls are a respectable team. They're the second best record in the Eastern Conference after blowing out the Brooklyn Nets, 118-95. Bulls pulled away in the fourth quarter to improve to 7-3 on the year. Suns beat the Kings 109-104. In hockey, Blackhawks were off. They'll host the Penguins tonight, 7:30 p.m. at the UC. And college basketball begins tonight, Chief. Not every team is in action tonight, but the season begins tonight, and then every team will get underway here in the next few days. But number 11 Illinois begins their season tonight. They'll host Jackson State. Northwestern plays tonight as well. They'll host Eastern Illinois. And Loyola starts their season tonight as they'll host Coppin State. Chief.
Coppin State, where the hell are they?
I've heard of them.
I have too.
Not sure where they're at.
Do we have Joel?
We do.
Joel, how are you?
It's been a while, but I finally get to say the Bulls.
Yeah.
The Bulls are looking good.
Yep.
They look really good. They're fun to watch. They're talented. They got a good mix of veterans and young players. And I think they're well coached. So we haven't said any of those things in many years. But 7-3 is a good start, and they've played a pretty tough schedule. So they're looking good so far.
How long has Billy Donovan been there?
This is his second year. So last year was his first year, and they were kind of rebuilding didn't do very well, but showed improvement. And then this year, they're off to the good start.
Are you surprised that you didn't find a spot for Lauri Markkanen?
I don't think it was that they didn't find a spot. I think the new leadership group just didn't like him as a player.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And plus, he's always hurt, and so they're like, let's just get him out of here. And sure enough, he's hurt again in Cleveland.
Oh, okay. Now, if AV was here...
Lauri Markkanen, yeah. Who was our top 10 pick from a few years back out of Arizona.
Yeah, I knew he was from Arizona. I know it was Arizona or Arizona State, but... How's if AV was here, she'd say, how are those Pistons doing?
Ah, man. Cade Cunningham is not turning out to be the panacea that they were looking for. They're a mess. I mean... you know what the thing is about the NBA, and I don't know if this is just, you know, me being an old guy or whatever, but like I was looking at the Bulls roster. Yeah, sure, I know Lonzo Ball, right, from UCLA, and DeMar DeRozan has been in the league for a long time, but you know, I just don't know these players. I don't know if I'm just not following the college game as much, if they're bringing in these older players, Elise Johnson, Derrick Jones Jr. I don't know. It's just, to me, I guess it's just because the Pistons have been irrelevant for so long. I just don't have a pulse on the NBA like I used to. Not since the bad, well, we did win the title back in, I believe, 03 or 04 with Richard Hamilton and, who the heck else do we have? Keyshawn Prince, but I don't know, Chief. But just I'm all about college basketball, and am I ever fired up for this basketball season? Juwan is just a master recruiter and coach. We got a lot of talent coming in. I was really excited. Got the first game tomorrow night. I'm going with my wife and daughter, so I'm all about college basketball. We'll see how the pros play out.
I have a quick comment on that. Is I think the reason why you don't know the names, why I don't know them, is because they don't stay in college long enough for you to know them in college.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid who just got hurt on the Bears, or I think, or the Bears, the Bulls, I think he's a really good player. I mean, Maddie's told me to look at him, and I have. The kid, we just hurt his wrist, unfortunately, and he looks like he's going to be a really good player. He seems like he's a really good kid. God's sake, he's not even 20 yet, is he, Manny?
No, you're talking about Patrick Williams,
yeah.
Who was the guy. He played 1 year at Florida State for Leonard Hamilton, and he was just kind of a freak athlete, 6'8", big hands, big vertical. And so after 1 year, they drafted him, I think, fourth overall. But he's so raw.
Wow.
He's so raw, you know, last year. He was very up and down, but you could see the flashes of brilliance. And then this year, they thought, you know, he's going to take a big step, and then he dislocates his wrist, and he has surgery, and now he's out for probably the rest of the regular season, so it's too bad. But, yeah, he's still, like, 20 years old.
I mean, it's not like, you know, you watched Lowell Cinder play 3 years and knew who he was. You know, I mean, it's just different. I have a question for the both of you guys, they say, in the South Side. Has the incredible amount of transfers that is in all over in college football, is basketball the same way? Has everybody got four new players on every team?
Yes.
Okay, I mean, yeah. So they all got an extra year from COVID, too.
Yep.
And guys that are 40 years old can be juniors and that type of thing?
That's right.
Actually, Michigan picked their point guard from last year. Michael Smith came from Wake Forest. Their point guard this year, Devontae Johnson, will be starting. And so, you know, adds a little bit of depth and an experience. But there's a freshman, I hope I get his name right, Moshe Diabate, and he is just supposed to be a talent to be up there with Hunter Dickinson. So we're gonna have some beef inside, which is good. I'm definitely looking forward to the season.
I have one of the guys real quick, because we're talking about the market for a second. One of the guys, the guy who runs my health club now, he manages a real nice kid. He's from he's younger than me, from Michigan State.
Michigan State.
Yeah, and he I said, Did you almost reach for the short sword last Saturday? He goes, if I would have had one, I would have had to have been restrained.
Yeah, Purdue killed them.
No, that was Illinois, wasn't it?
No.
No, Purdue, that's right.
Purdue killed Michigan State.
Who did Illinois beat? Illinois beat Minnesota. Illinois beat Minnesota.
And Illinois went to Minnesota and won on the road. It was kind of a crazy weekend. And Ohio State didn't play well at Nebraska. They won, but it was ugly.
Is Purdue getting better? I mean, they got the guy in the defensive line, a couple guys that are going to be number one picks. Is the rest of the team getting better?
Purdue's solid. They're like 6-3. They beat Michigan State. They beat Iowa. They got a couple good wins.
It's the way it's setting up now, and I'm not going to hold my breath because the way Michigan is done on the road. But if we can win out, if we can win at Penn State, which I'm not optimistic about, then we can beat Maryland. And Ohio State can maintain their undefeated pace. Then once again, it's going to come down to Michigan, Ohio State for the Big Ten championship, and hopefully we won't lose by 3 touchdowns.
Well, I mean, if Ohio State essentially poops out, none of these other teams are going to make the playoffs, are they? I mean, it won't be a Big Ten.
No, Ohio State, yeah. Michigan State maybe can work their way back up, but doubtfully. Yeah.
What do you make of this?
That's what we're looking at.
What do you make of the market? We got 30 seconds. Why are bonds going? If they're going to start pulling money out of the system, how come bonds are going the other way?
Because it's just money moving around, short-term plan, catching people on the wrong side of a trade. Meaningless, absolutely meaningless. Rates are going to go up. They'll go up a little bit. No, you know, we'll see if we get this right. But we got some big numbers today. I would say listen to the numbers. You know, this could be a little fly in the ointment today. You got the CPI and the PPI. So
what if CPI comes in at like...
If everything's as dovish as Powell says they are.
What if CPI comes in at like a point?
Who knows? They're not transitory.
Transitory. That's right. Joel, take care of yourself, buddy.
Good
luck on your guys. SP Futures up, down 6. I'm so used to saying up. NASDAQ Futures up 9. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain?
Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control. Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. Mr. Weber. SP Futures down 4 now. NASDAQ Futures up 18. Individual stocks, like I said, the big news this morning is GE splitting up into three divisions, none of which are household appliances, and none of them have to do with light bulbs. So it's aviation, healthcare, and I think, what the heck's the other one? I should have it. What did I just say, Manny? Well, anyway, there's three. They're real big into healthcare. Manny, they got a lot of the new processes. They bought a couple places. A lot of the machinery that they do in hospitals is GE now, which is interesting. Looking here today, we have the producer price index, and tomorrow the CPI. I have no idea why this flips every month. Some months we get the CPI before the PPI, next month we don't. I don't know what the rationale is for that, but anyway, we've got, so today we have the St. Louis, President James Bullard speaks at, 8:50 our time. Actually, no, he'd be 7 o'clock our time, 7:50, this must be Eastern time. He's a guy that is actually, I don't know how he sits at the meeting, because he's somewhat of a monetarist, and he's absolutely convinced, if you read between the lines when he talks, that the inflation we're having is absolutely a Fed cause. It's a monetary phenomenon, but nobody else is willing to say that.
You are.
I am. Well, we'll talk about a voice crying in the wilderness, Matty, but... I don't understand why it. You know, maybe the problem is. I guess really it was a long time ago. You know, it was, you know, 30, 35, 40 years ago that this happened before, and maybe that is a long time. You know, and people just forget it. They forget all the little bits and pieces of how individual people get hurt, and how if you're not somebody. Now again, I've told this story 100 times. I'll be real brief. I was a guy at Pullman, and it was one of their, one of their favorite guys, who the hell knows. But the management people didn't have a cost of living increase. I'm gonna guess your management right now, Matty, you don't have anything. Your company, I think, has been good to you guys, what you tell me. I don't ask, none of my business, but in terms of them maintaining you guys, that, you know.
We get a merit increase every year.
Yep.
So, you know, it's typically around 3%.
Okay, so there's no provision that if the CPI is up, well, CPI, which I don't trust, but let's say inflation was up 7% this year, there's no 7% across the board on, you know, January 1st that you guys are getting a raise.
No. Yeah, I mean, and, you know, obviously we're not a union, and there's no, I mean, there's no provision like that. And we don't have any sort of way to, as a group, to negotiate something like that. Maybe someone individually has done that, but that I don't know about.
But, why would you in the last 10 years?
Right, exactly.
And, but I mean, this is all learned stuff. It didn't just happen back then. You know, if you had power of people, because I can remember getting, the year the inflation was like 12%. I go in for my review and they go, you know, we have a hard and fast thing here that nobody's getting over 5% and blah, blah, blah. It's 3 to 5. And I want to congratulate you. We really like you and you're doing a good job and you're growing and you're doing stuff that, you know, you weren't hired to do. And so we're going to give you a 5. And I'm going, it was like the girl in Caddyshack, tanks for nothing. Like 5? I'm down 7 on the year. How's that a good year? I mean, literally, Betty, that's what it was. I was down 7 on the year and I was one of the guys they liked. I mean, right now, I was stunned at how much we paid for caulk this weekend. It's like $7. I mean, if I went through my, you explained this to me once. Why the hell can you not read a receipt from 3 years ago? Well, why do those things degrade so much?
It's a great question. I mean, it's obviously the paper they use, but do they do it on purpose?
I don't know. You were the one that said if they either got to use that kind of a printer or another kind of printer, and this one's so much cheaper that everybody went with this one, even though it just kind of degrades. I mean, I suppose I could go, they email me the receipt, so I'd probably go back and find out if I was that dutiful. But I mean, the little stuff like that, you know, you just run something up, you know, the percentage changes are dramatic, even though it doesn't seem like very much. You know, what's the difference? You know, a thing of caulk was, $4.50 3 years ago, now it's 7. Well, okay. We went through 25 of them this weekend. It's a lot of dough. $200 for caulk?
Yeah.
For God's sake, I mean, you should be able to caulk the world for $200, right? I mean, am I wrong or not? I mean, it's insane. But I mean, you can blow through this, you know, this $10 an hour we're supposed to want to work for. You can blow through that at lunch. You know, it is a very cruel tax for people that don't have, and the thing about this time, Maddie, which I've said before too many times, but you know what? It's the truth. I mean, if the market ever stops doing what it's doing, I don't mean, you know, go flying down or crash. I'm not predicting anything like that. If it ever stops doing what it's doing, the idea that somebody is making 1% in a bank when the inflation is 10 is obscene. I mean, because at least in the last time this happened, when Grandma Webby went to the bank and the inflation was 10, she was getting 12. So inflation kept your risk-free rate kept pace, and now the Fed doing what it's doing has essentially stopped that from happening, and they've stopped it by buying this stuff up at prices that no the dumbest man on earth wouldn't pay for. There isn't a person on earth, man. Well, you've learned enough just from listening, I guess. I'm going to say we don't have anybody on this show or anybody who's ever listened to the show. They would invest their money with the Fed right now at 1.5% for 10 years. Yet the people we employ, the Fed, is doing that every single day. And what is wrong with that picture? I mean, why does this bother me so much? Nobody else seems to care. I just see this number, and I don't expect you or anybody else, because to be quite blunt, I have no idea. Tell me a $9 trillion balance sheet. God's sake, Matty. It's like saying there's a planet out there 50 times bigger than Earth. How can I even conceive of such a thing? And what are we going to do exactly with $9 trillion worth of fake money on the balance sheet?
Obviously nothing.
Well, it seems to me, just like with the COVID thing, it's being oversold. I mean, the idea that we have to put more and more money in to stay in the same spot, because what the Fed's doing is messing up with the market. It's no different than if you wanted the price of your used cars to go up, and you had more money than God, and you ran around and paid up for used cars in every other used car lot and hid them someplace, right? I mean, they're running around and buying up all these bonds at prices nobody else would even consider buying them, but they're using our money to do it. It's sort of bizarre. So you guys, I saw a rain cloud this morning when I was waiting for you, heading for your field on Thursday night. Do you guys be playing in January or what?
Yeah, it's really unfortunate that we've already had, 3 rainouts so far in our fall softball league. And then we're in a stretch now where it hasn't rained in probably 10 straight days, and then the forecast is calling for rain on Thursday.
is there any sort of a,
And then you throw Thanksgiving in the mix, which is obviously on a Thursday. And, we're gonna be playing, well into mid-December.
Well, the other nights have to be over. Is there any provision for you guys playing, two nights in 1 week?
I'd like to start playing double headers maybe. We could have easily played double headers last week. There was 2 open fields, but I don't know if they have any kind of foresight or not.
Well, shifting a night's tough. If all the other leagues are going, shifting a night's real hard because people are probably playing the other leagues, but if all the other leagues, if Thursday is just the bastard night and everybody else has been going stopped for a month, I think they could probably try something like that.
Be creative thinking. I don't know if they have that level of competency.
That's not that
at the old league office.
That's not that difficult, man.
You wouldn't think so.
No. Anyway, so what do you think? I'm one of the most. I think this whole idea of these people all changing schools for football and basketball, and I don't know how it's going to come out, Maddie, but if you were a writing man and a real researcher, I mean, when I say a real researcher, I mean, that was your job, I have to believe that there's like almost like PhD papers or maybe even a book on the transformation of football and basketball on the college level with just for these 2 or 3 years, and whether it's been good for the game, bad for the game, whether they want to do it more often, where anybody could transfer. What do you think the upshot's going to be?
Well, I can tell you the coaches, there's the majority of coaches that I've heard talk about it absolutely hate it. But I think they hate it because there's a small percentage of coaches that are adapting and taking advantage of the new rules and are landing their players. And that's how it always happens. You know, everyone hated, John Calipari at first when he started going with the one and dones and getting all the 5-star guys, at one and done. And then what did they do after a while? Duke started doing the same thing. Kansas started doing the same thing. And these other schools started doing it too. So, you know, part of me thinks it's just sour grapes. As a fan, I couldn't care less. Who cares? If a kid wants to transfer school, what do I care what school he goes to? The recruiting process has been dirty with AAU. It's been dirty with high school. Why not make it dirty with the other colleges too?
Well, it doesn't necessarily make it dirty. I mean, there's been one of the guys where I used to get, I went to this haircut guy on 95th Street for 100 years, and he's probably dead. But next door to him was his law office, and he came in, and the kid played ball for Evergreen, I think, or maybe it was his brother Rice for Evergreen Park, and he was really good. And Bo Schembechler came in and was, like, talking to the dad, and he goes, let me make this perfectly clear. For the next 4 years, I own your son. And the lawyer goes, Mr. Schembechler, nobody owns my kid. Get the bleep out of my office. And he wouldn't, let him go there. But I think a lot of these coaches really felt that for 4 years they had you in, you know, somewhat of a jail. And now they don't. I mean, and some guys probably never felt that way, so it doesn't bother them all that much. But I think Alabama's going to have a real hard time stacking people behind other people. Because aren't the 2 kids from Michigan State or from Alabama?
Yeah,
right?
And I love it.
Yeah, I do too.
It's great.
I mean, I don't know what it does for your education, but I don't know how much they're getting anyway. You know, so I don't know. That part's weird. But some of these kids are on their second graduate degree, for God's sake.
Yep.
Anyway, SP Futures down 5, NASDAQ Futures up 12. Quebec, Mr. Jeff Joseph, and he's got a new magazine coming out. It's always interesting. It should be more interesting than usual.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Welcome to Face Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Ollies, Mr. Brett Weber on the board. S&P Futures down 5. NASDAQ Futures up 15. Dow Futures down 92. Big news, I guess, this morning is, Jeff will remember, but, it's up $9 to 117.36. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Good morning, Chief. How are you?
I'm alright. I cannot remember. The GE reverse split was at 8, 10, or 12 for 1. I don't remember. Was it 12?
Oh, I don't know. It was a 8-1. It was like a 8-1 or one. It was an inverse split.
Yeah, it was a reverse split.
Right. Yeah. One day, 8-1, something like that. But I don't remember the stock. Right?
Yeah, I don't remember.
It was trading. Yeah, I do. It was trading over 100. That's all I remember. It was trading in the low 100, like around 105 or something.
Well, now it's 117. So after today's move, they're splitting up into three companies after they sold off basically two companies. Very strange. I don't know where we get some of these leaders these days. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just sort of odd. But so how are you?
All good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good, and it was really a lot of fun to have Mike back on yesterday. He's had a little bit of a rough patch, but he sounded great, and he seems chipper with the world, so he can't get that dude down, it doesn't appear. I mean, he came right back. Yep. He has great stuff on the VIX yesterday.
Can I keep a good guy down, right?
Isn't that the truth? So what's up with you? We have the PPI coming out today, CPI. As soon as I heard that, I said, well, Jeff's going to want to comment on some of this stuff, and they're looking for a CPI of only 0.4 tomorrow. One of these days, we're going to have to get a big number, I think, but maybe not. I mean, what's your read on that?
You know, I don't know. Just react. I think, basically, as you know, we're preparing for this upcoming inflation issue for Luckbox, and so we've been speaking to a lot of different folks, and you know, the old expression, opinions are like belly buttons, right? I mean, especially when you throw a bunch of economists in the mix, you're all over the place. So we're backing up a little bit and focusing on the bigger trends, the bigger issues, and trying to stay out of the weeds on the numbers because, first of all, they're impossible to forecast. And second of all, you know, we're much more interested in the longer term trends and what they might be telling us. So we're right in the middle. So I'm curious too. I'll be watching closely today.
Well, I'm absolutely in the camp where you can talk to a lot of them a lot of ways, but I'm absolutely convinced there is no debate on this whatsoever. These guys have been pouring money into the system for 10 or 15 years, make that 18 years, and they've been lying on the CPI. And if you go back and check any numbers, any even small survey you can do on your own, that all the other stuff falls out. I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, no, and I agree. You know, I did have an interesting conversation with Ed Yardini. Remember Ed? Been
yeah.
around a long, long, long time as a Wall Street analyst. And his analogy about, you know, tapering was that, remember, it's just tapering, as we all know. Because there's still a ton of liquidity out there. There's still, you know, and now there's going to be a stimulus bill again, and we're in a wash in the liquidity. There's money sitting in the accounts. It's not like the Fed is taking away the punch bowl. The punch bowl is still full. You know, there's still plenty of liquor in there, and you know, it you're not going to have that immediate impact because of all the liquidity. And they think that's the bigger problem, as you do, I believe. You know, that probably needs to be some more dramatic movements on behalf of the Fed.
Why do you think, Jeff, that in terms of the in today's world, if you ask any young person, you know, I shouldn't be taking a shot at them, but any young person, they will tell you that their access to information, they know way more than you and I ever did when we were this age, their age. They have so much access to information, but the information they have access to me seems so tainted, and there's very few sources of being that people go to for real information, that I don't know that I don't think we've gained much. I mean, look at this. What's it going to take for regular people to just all of a sudden one day shout out together, what are you doing with this inflation number? You're killing us. I mean, the numbers, I'm stunned. I bet if you and I did any kind of our own survey for the last 4 or 5 years, we'd find we're at an 8-10% pace, maybe not quite that high, 7-9% pace for the last 5 years. And why do people continue to believe this BS that they keep throwing at us?
I don't think they do. I think, you know, people are very, very much aware of the increased prices. I hear it spoken about all the time with people, you know, the price of meat, particularly things that they buy, you know, and Yardini said something else that I thought was really important, and that was, to your point, to this question itself, because I asked him about, you know, the inadequacies of the CPI and that, does it lull the public into a false sense of, security with respect to inflation? And he says, no, they're not stupid, you know, because of energy prices more than anything. What is the one thing you purchase that the price is in your face, literally in your face? When you're at the gas pump and you're standing there, you look at a large sign that shows how much. So his point was that people are far more aware of energy prices than anything else. If you ask somebody what a gallon of milk costs that they bought yesterday, they won't know. But if you ask them how much they paid at the pump, they'll know. And since the recent increase, and I thought that was a really good point too, right? And because of the and that increased prices build itself into the psyche. We were talking about the misery index. I think you know the misery index,
oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's been around for a long, long time, and it's a simple calculation that aggregates inflation numbers and unemployment numbers. But it's been particularly predictive and valuable. Going back for decades, not so much on markets, fair markets and recessions, although it does have some pretty good predictive accuracy and correlation there, but far more accurate when it comes to predicting political consequences. You know, the high misery index was Carter's downfall. You saw some with Nixon as well. It's particularly predictive when it comes to predicting a change in incumbents or a change in Congress or the White House in particular. So we were talking about the misery index, and it's like people don't follow that number, but they certainly know how much they're paying at the pump, and that loops its way into the national psyche. So if we were to follow that reasoning, which I bought into, I think he has a good point there, that people are really aware that prices are high right now, and they're hearing, and then that's being augmented by stories that they're hearing about what lies ahead with your Thanksgiving turkey and You know, Ocean Spray today had a release that should have enough cranberries, but they're not sure you should buy early. And, you know, and Butterball came out yesterday and said that the smaller turkeys are going to be in very, very short supply. So either this is really good opportunistic marketing by these food companies, or, you know, it's a heads up that we're going to have some problems, and people feel it. I think they know it. I think that accounts for the fact that Biden's approval rating is as low as it is right now.
If you have the same view of this that I do, I'm going to say all of those people are saying, what did the guy say, and my cousin Vinny, everything that guy said is BS.
Yeah.
I mean, every one of these people now, I'm going to say that Butterball, Kellogg's, you name the place, Luckbox Magazine, you know, PTI Security, you name the spot.
Hey, we have plenty of Luckbox magazines, by the way.
Yes.
We like to say we have issues, so,
yeah.
go to getluckbox.com
but
to help us out.
But, I mean, if all of a sudden the price of every other magazine goes from $5 to $10, you're going to raise yours to $10 because you can't. But you don't feel the obligation to get on national TV and give somebody a line of crap about how the reason why you did that is because of a paper shortage and all the other kind of... The fact is, you did it because you can. There's virtually no correlation in the short term, and I know people are saying I'm wrong here, but I'm not. There's no correlation between price and how much and the factors of production in the short term. None whatsoever. Now, in the long term, yeah, you know, but I'm saying, I mean, Butterball is going to raise the turkeys because they can. They're going to charge as high. They're going to maximize their revenue, which is they're going to pick a price at which they maximize the revenue. They're going to be, if they want too much higher, people buy something else. They don't want that to happen. If they go much lower, they lose out. And that's what people do. But now nobody can say, I raise the price of cars because I can and I feel like it and I want more. That doesn't sound right. Or I raise the price, you know.
I would take a different view on that. I've been, within the last 30 days, I've been notified of the postage rate increase on our mailings. That's coming in February. I've been notified the price of paper will go up for this issue materially. It'll be 8 to 9% higher for this issue. My price of ink is up 4%. My prices are much higher, yet I can't. Subscription prices are not something that you can change. So I've got to eat those losses, you know, and that you eat that directly. I know in the restaurant business, the price of meat is so high right now, and that for the most part, they just can't pass that on. You know, I was with a well-known restaurant family, one of the largest restaurant families in Chicago, yesterday, and they said they can't raise their menu prices any higher because it will impact their business, but they don't like to sell steaks right now. They hope that people order anything but a steak because their margin on a steak now is lower than it's ever been.
So
some of these price increases are just not opportunism, but, you know, they're just necessitated by the increased costs.
In the long run, I'm with you. Okay, what I'm saying is people set their prices. It's not like if steaks drop by 50% that you're going to see a 50% drop in the price, but it may not drop at all. If the place is full, it's going to stay right where it is. There's some competitive fed. The thing that has infected the CPI the whole way, and I don't think anybody, even back in the monetarist school, the thing that has infected the CPI for the last 20 years, maybe longer, has been the price of healthcare. Because people don't pay it. Most people, even if they're really smart, when the price of healthcare goes up, and the company pays for it, they'll just tell you and me at a cocktail party, yeah, well, I got the greatest insurance in my company. It doesn't dawn on them that if the price of healthcare wasn't going up the way it was, they would have gotten a $1,000 raise per month. But in fact, it doesn't dawn on them at all. Yet if they go in and have to pay 4 cents more for a gallon of gas, and it's $60 in the tank for a week instead of 55, they're outraged. Even though one is far and away more conducive are worse for their financial well-being than the other, right? It's not even close, right. But one's in your face and one isn't. So what our group has done, I mean our group, our governments have done is they've maintained healthcare being 7% of the basket, was 6, when it's been 20% of the spending in this country for really 2.5 decades. And the interesting part is when you've allowed that to go up, so if you were paying your own hospital care, I'm going to say in 2000, from 2000 to now, it's up 3 times, at least. Maybe I actually came up with 2.95, but say three times. CPI is up 0.52 in that same period of time. So right. You got a big problem there. So now if Jeff Joseph or Matt Weber or Chief was paying his own stuff, I'm paying $1,500 a month, say, instead of $700 a month, or instead of $650. I'm down $800. So there's $800 less I can pay for other stuff. So you're not only increasing the demand there, you're detracting from the demand somewhere else. So if you don't count the one, you're going to get a degradation in the other places. It's like all of a sudden for you to park in front of your house, Evanston says, we need $500. Well, not only do you not count the 500 because there's no spot in the CPI for it, now you have $500 less a year to spend on something else. And if you multiply that time the amount of people in Evanston, you're going to have less restaurant dinners, you're going to have less this, less the other, so you're actually going to be a drag on the other stuff. So when you start cheating on the count, you don't just affect the one column, you affect the whole thing, right? And nothing has been more pervasive than this healthcare. Nothing. I mean, you look at the cost of, what percentage, Manny, we had somebody in that talked about it one time, what percentage of bankruptcies in this country in massive, why do you think a lot of people are paying 20-some percent on their credit card? It's not just, I'll say something I shouldn't, it's not just some blonde bimbo or some guy who has to go out and buy his bass boat and she can't wait to buy another $500 purse. It's people that never dreamed that they were going to have a balance on their credit card and all of a sudden have a health emergency and get $10,000 on their credit card and they're paying 25% for the rest of their life. It's like the major cause of all bankruptcies on top of everything else.
Yep.
So I mean,
that's a really good point.
Yeah, but I don't think the people. How can I put it this politely? I'm too late for the politely. I don't think you can talk to an economist who writes for the New York Times or is a tenured guy at Harvard or some damn place or Notre Dame or Northwestern or wherever it is. I don't think you're going to get anywhere near the details of this. To be put it bluntly, than you get from me. Because I was in a plant and I saw people getting raises and other people not. I mean, it really works its way down the chain. And I don't think, I'll ask you, you've been interviewing all these people. Do you get any of this many of them?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Do you get any of this many of them, the detail and how it affects people and how the thing. I think they're above it all. I don't think they, because they're not paying their hospitalization and maybe they're getting a raise. I don't think they have any idea how it affects people down the line and, I mean, or don't care. I mean, they probably care, but they don't know.
Well, it's funny you mention that because Luckbox does issues that, we look at things, economic issues and policy issues frequently in anything related to the capital markets. And as you recall, we did that issue on Modern Monetary Theory featuring Stephanie Felton, an in-depth interview with her. We had her on the cover of the magazine. And apparently she wasn't really happy with that coverage, even though we gave her a 5-page spread and a full interview and, her words exactly, because we posted an alternative view, somebody, which is what we always do. If we have any perspective, we will ask somebody for a rebuttal perspective on it as well. And she wasn't nuts about that. We had, a more traditional, Hayek, like economist that spoke to what was wrong with modern monetary theory, and that was like a page and a half following into 5 pages. And it's just a reminder to me of how insulated these economists are. So I, since we're working on an inflation issue now, I went back to her and asked her if she wanted to be a part of the issue again, and she hemmed and hawed. She thought that he wasn't given proper respect for that. And that just reminded me at that point exactly what you just got to, is that these economists, policymakers, they are not living at amongst us. They feel as though they're living above us, and that their viewpoints should not be, you know, held to criticism or scrutiny in any manner. And to cut to the chase, I really think there should be somebody who builds himself as a populist economist that really speaks to the issues that people understand. First of all, I think you'd relate economic issues a little bit better if it had a more of a populist playing to it. And you know, people would engage on these issues a little bit more closely, because invariably the economists that we speak to are really, really removed from the people. It's like talking to a priest about the Bible, the way they'll refer to it, like Keynes and Hayek, and they're just very, very, very out of touch. You know, they have no perspective on cryptocurrencies, and you know, they're just really in another world. Economic theory should be something that it's not just theory; it's about practice. And so I really have a lukewarm feeling as of all the time that we've spent with economists on economic issues. I think they're very removed, to your point.
Well, always ask yourself, in one man's opinion, always ask yourself the question: if we just doubled the amount of money, everybody who had a dollar in his pocket all of a sudden had two, and we just did that for everybody, okay, what would it accomplish, Jeff? It would accomplish absolutely nothing. It would be like a stock split.
If I owed you Andrew Yang tried that, and I guess he would agree with you. It didn't accomplish much in terms of a campaign strategy. But no, it doesn't accomplish anything, because if I'm the vendor and I know everybody has twice as much money, I'm charging twice as much. It's a very, very simple formula.
Well, we don't do that. We do it in such a way where we really benefit some and hurt others.
Mm-hmm.
That's I got a real interesting view on this one time, Jeff. Boy, talk about it. I mean, all my jaundiced views come from real conversations with people. Unfortunately, we used to do these seminars. We didn't do them. I always say that. We used to participate in these seminars. Other people did.
I always assumed your jaundiced views were a result of some block miner-like incident.
Could be. One of my guests. So we ended up having all these guys from Mexico. And they were high-end people. I mean, guys in the government. So we're all at the dear departed Excelsior. Was a bar in 175 West Jackson with really strong drinks. We'd bring them in there on Friday night, and all of a sudden, you know, everybody has a couple of these, and I mean, they're telling you all about their wife and kids, for God's sake. So Mexico had just, they haven't done this in, I don't know, the last time they did. Remember when they used to devalue their currency? Maddie, I don't think they've done that maybe in your lifetime, but they used to devalue the currency, right? Before they had the floating exchange rates, and so they just devalued it the week while these guys were in the seminar. And I said, boy, I really feel bad, you know, you guys, that your currency got devalued, and maybe, you know, that's the last time, and blah, blah, blah. The guy goes, why is that a problem? And I said, what do you mean, why is it a problem? And he says, oh, no, if you know the right people, you get your money offshore the night before and buy dollars, and when you bring it back, you got 10% more money than your neighbor. And I'm thinking, ah. So it's all about growing. So this idea of the inflation, they know who they're hurting and who they're helping. The thing the problem I'm having, well, one of the problems is, I honestly believe, Jeff, I mean, I have more than enough work to do trying to keep people's accounts doing good, but I should be hired everywhere. The idea that Caterpillar, maybe they did, does not have a cost of living. If you were to sign a deal right now, if you were to guarantee people Luckbox magazine at a certain price for the next 5 years, and you don't have an escalation clause in there, and I'm going to say that I bet that we're going to be at a 10% inflation for at least the next 3 or 4 years. I hope I'm wrong, but I would bet that I'm right. I'm going to say you're going to put your company out of business by not having that clause in there. Because I knew people at Pullman that, you know, when we got raises in our price from the Boston group because of I would the guys who had the trucks, big part of the car, the seats, air conditioners, I don't think the guys with the lights had a clause, and we didn't give them any more dough if they didn't, right? Anybody who had, was a 3-year program. Anybody who didn't have that clause, but by the end of the program, was probably down 30% in real money on what we were paying them. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they were out of business, if they had a couple of contracts like that. So it's not just how I can make more. It's a matter of survival if this thing screws up for people. And those guys are never going to tell you that, right? And you're never going to see an article like that. But you know where I'm coming from. I mean, if right now, if you did a thing on the, if you signed up for 5 years the next burn interchange problem with all these infrastructure, if you don't put an acceleration clause in your contract, you're going to put your company out of business in 5 years, all across the board. Just saying. But that collective memory isn't around, is it?
Well, I agree completely. There's no question about it, and I think that's the that's another thing that we've kind of picked up here is we believe there's no this question of transitory. I think that's already resolved itself. There's no reasons to expect the supply chain issues to change in any over the short term. So, but I think if I come to that conclusion by making it clear that they were going to begin their tapering program now. At that point, you can't be peddling the transitory story any longer. These numbers are high, and they're at 30-year highs right now. So, in terms of how they're being reported, what they actually are is another question completely.
Well, they're pouring gas on the fire as we speak. Today, they're going to be buying bonds. Why? The market's been all-time high is what? Is it 7 or 8 days in a row or some number? Why do you need to spend money today?
How much cash is sitting there too? There's a lot of cash sitting in the banks. And then we've just passed an infrastructure bill as well, right? So that means there's going to be more liquidity, more money floating out there. So it's really the question as to why we continue with this. I don't know.
Well, somebody's benefiting by it, and it's not us. I'm just saying. SP futures up down 175. Yeah. NASDAQ futures up 32. Looks like we're moving to the upside here a little bit. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. but I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ollie, just Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures down 1.25, and NASDAQ futures up 37. Again, individual stocks, we still have G's not only up 650, it was up 9 a minute ago, because they're splitting into three companies. We have AMD up 375, and the Dow, we've got not much going on there. Actually, most of it's red, but we've got Salesforce up 94 cents, but nothing heavy. Disney down 35 cents, Visa's down $1.14, so, I mean, Goldman Sachs down $1.79, nothing major in the Dow here at all. Dow futures, like I said, are down 68. In Europe, we've got the DAX. This is now a total mixed bag, but the DAX up 27.2%. FTSE down 5. Call that flat. CAC around down up 16.2%. So very, very slow over there. Again, we're looking at the inflation data here, but this month, and we'll ask, maybe Jeff knows the answer to this, why 1 month CPI is before PPI next month. Well, today it's PPI, tomorrow CPI. Nikkei down 221.7%, Shanghai up 8.2%, Hang Seng up 49.2%. We still have issues with that one company, the real estate company, it's kind of beaten up on the, been a hunk, Hang Seng for the last week or so. Still there's no resolution on that anybody knows about. Yesterday, Dow up 104, S&P up 4, NASDAQ futures, NASDAQ yesterday up 10. Bonds continuing to go. 10-year yield now down to 1.45 after maxing out, I believe, at 1.62 maybe 10 days ago. The Bund minus 0.28. It was up to minus 0.08. Japan positive 6.06 when it made it to positive 0.10. Oil down a penny, so call that unchanged, 81.92. Brent down a penny, 83.47. Natural gas down 15 cents, 5.27. So that thing has gone, see, 609 to 499, back to like 580 and out of 527. Wild ride in natural gas. RBOB up 2 cents to 234. We've got gold down 30 cents, was down a little bit more earlier, at 1827. So it's high for a 2 month high. And gold, silver down 11 cents, 24.42. Copper down a penny, 438. And we've got crypto up 1,700 to 67,683. It's not a all-time high, but it's a high for many months now. Betty, what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We still have just a horrific crash on the outbound Stevenson that happened a couple of hours ago and still has I-55 completely closed. Right at I-355. It also has the I-355 entrance and exit ramps blocked due to this multi-vehicle crash with injuries that have crews on the scene and have had them on the scene for the better part of the morning. It says expect delays of up to 2 hours if you're heading on the outbound Stevenson, so you really just want to avoid that. And on the inbound side, even though you're getting by, the gapers are so bad, it's moving very slow on the inbound side as well, and this is right in the Bolingbrook-Lamont area, right at I-55 and 355 there in the southwestern suburbs. So that's our slow-moving spot, as you can imagine. Once you get past that, if you get on the Stevenson, they're rerouting traffic at Route 83, for example, then it actually is not as bad once you're past the accident because of less than normal traffic volume. No issues on the Ryan I-57 or the Bishop Ford, just normal traffic volumes down there. We do have a stalled semi on I-80. This is on the eastbound side just before Briggs Street, which is exit 134. It's blocking the right lane. And then there's reports of another crash involving a semi right near Center Street as well. Both are through the ongoing roadwork zone on I-80 there, but the crashes are adding more to an already kind of confusing area there down by Joliet, so expect delays on I-80 on the eastbound side. Eisenhower, traffic building normally. Same for the Edens and Kennedy, but no accidents to report. And that's pretty much it for traffic. Weather today, a cloudy day, a bit cooler than it's been, but still a little bit above normal. We'll reach a high of 58, which is kind of where we're at right now. It's overcast and 57 degrees downtown. So we'll stay right around here with clouds in the forecast. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 82. Right now it is clear and 59. In sports, Bears lose on Monday Night Football last night. We talked about it a lot last hour, but Bears were down 14 heading into the fourth quarter, stormed back and actually took the lead behind a couple of really nice drives from Justin Fields and the offense, but then gave up a field goal to the Steelers with 30 seconds left. Bears drove down with no timeouts and attempted pretty much a Hail Mary-type field goal, a 65-yard attempt. That was right on line, but about 6 or 7 yards short of the crossbar, so never really had a chance. And Bears lose to the Steelers 29-27. Bears drop to 3-6 heading into their bye week. NBA basketball, Bulls tallied a 42-point fourth quarter, running away from the Brooklyn Nets 118-95 to improve to 7-3. Suns beat the Kings 109-104. In hockey, Blackhawks were off last night. They're back at home tonight to take on the Penguins. It's a 7:30 p.m. puck drop. And college basketball begins tonight. Number 11 Illinois is in action against Jackson State. Northwestern hosts Eastern Illinois. And Loyola hosts Coppin State, who, by the way, I found out Coppin State is based out of Baltimore, Chief.
Really?
That's right. Back to you.
I didn't think Coppin was a state.
It's not.
Just saying. Producer Price Index came in a little...
Jackson.
Yeah, it came in a little hotter, 0.6%. Wholesale prices rise 8.6% year over year in October. Tied for highest ever. So, you get that going for you. But bonds are going up, not down. So something is not matching up here, Jeff, but, I guess it's the buyer of bonds here cannot be regular people. It's gotta be our hired help, the Fed. I'm just saying. But, anywho. Jeff, I got a question for you. I mean, as you're clearly in the game of, the profession of putting out magazines and so forth. And on a scale of 1 to 10, you guys are I'm going to say when it comes to the truth, you're about as close to the 10 as it gets. And I think you work real hard at that. And as if there's a magazine that has, I'll use the term that nobody uses anymore, that has honor, you guys have it. You know, and I mean, you can just tell when you're on the show and so forth. And I like to think that we have it as well. I had a conversation a long time ago with just so happened she's a very attractive young lady. She was a waitress over at the Ceres, and I don't think you ever met her. Maybe you did, but she came from Romania. And one day she sits down and she goes, it's not busy. I got a question I want to ask you. And I said, okay. She goes, how come when I read the papers here, they remind me of the papers in Romania while we were a communist country where everybody was afraid and everything was like read before? And I said, boy, that's an interesting observation. She goes, now over there, the gloves are off. I mean, if they don't like somebody, they're right at them. And why, I mean, I know that, you know, like I said, you guys like to tell the truth, but why, I'm not asking, saying you should do this or anything like that. I'm saying, why aren't the gloves off? Why doesn't somebody, you know, I'm sure if he sat down, I'd really like to get it. Why doesn't somebody, either on TV or magazine or print or pod, maybe somebody is doing a podcast, why doesn't somebody show every other month for the last 2 years, this guy Powell, no, there is no inflation. Oh man, there's not even close to being. And 2 months later, well, there might be a little, but we're still not at 2%. Jeff, it's been like 18 months and now we're absolutely out of control. Why doesn't everybody show the moronic, and I'm not saying personally for him, the moronic policy that these people have had and how quickly, why doesn't somebody show all that? I mean, if you showed that, you'd look at it and go, who are these people? But nobody does that. Nobody actually takes the glove off. And nobody in Congress, you don't have a newspaper or a magazine, if there are such a thing, I mean, there are, obviously Luckbox is one. You don't have anybody that lists, here's 15 people from the Senate and the House, And by the way, they voted for this on this bill, and they got this much money from this company, and who's got this thing in the bill. You don't see any of that. Why are we so nice to people in some areas, and then somewhere else, if a guy uses the wrong word 20 years ago, you want to throw him out of his house and his home? I mean, it seems like, what is wrong with us, I guess is my question.
Well, it's an interesting question, and I'll give you a parallel to that. That might answer it. You know, first of all, when all of them done, our representatives are just people, right? They're not scholars, they're not academics. Many of them don't have any rich, business background and experience. That's why I'm always particularly attracted to those candidates that do have business experience. But, you know, many of them came out of our schools right now, which you know, there's a lot to be said about the direction that our education is taking and the indoctrination that goes there. But to be fair, they're not experts in economic issues. And the parallel to that would be the very same reason that we're seeing all the abuses by the tech industry with respect to privacy and intellectual property and advertising and marketing and just everything that tech has done, anti-competitive practices and monopolistic practices, everything that Google, Facebook, and Amazon, everything that they've done, and it's why it's takes so much time for our legislators to respond to that. You've seen it when they end up on Capitol Hill, when Zuckerberg or Brin or any of them is sitting before Congress. You can see by the inane questions that they're being asked, to be fair, that these elected officials just don't understand technology enough to be critical of their practices. So I would liken this lack of economic transparency and calling bullshit to the simple reason that they just don't get it. And I don't think that's their fault. You know, we've got a system where we elect people just like us, and most people don't understand, you know, economic subjects or technology and its implications, and it blows over. So, I'm not casting blame. I'm actually being sympathetic to that. I wish our legislators were more tech conversant and more, you know, brighter when it came to the economy, but they're not. And that's why the Fed can keep on doing what they're doing, and that's why big tech can keep on doing what it's doing for a long, long time and wreck a lot of damage before, you know, some sort of populist groundswell kind of wakes up and takes over. That takes a long, long time.
Well,
and I'm not guessing, well, I'm not saying they're ignorant. I'm just saying they're like the rest of us. They're just people that haven't been schooled in these areas. So that provides a lot of political cover for the bad actors. You know, I mean, I think it's just that simple.
Well, I think there's I'm getting a sense, not from what, you know, I know these people because I really don't. I'm getting a sense from the people who come on the show, like Carl and you and some people that are involved in at least supporting people in politics and so forth, that a lot of the people who come to the House of Representatives are, like you say, maybe not from Illinois, because I don't think there's anybody come out of here that's not half crook, but, maybe that's a little too harsh, but I mean, other places, I think you're right. I mean, I've met some of those guys when I used to go with the SIBO to the Capitol Hill, and we had receptions and stuff, and a lot of them seem like regular people. But a lot of them also, I mean, if you're in that job, you know, you need to read a book without pictures once in a while, Jeff. I mean, I don't know some of these guys, I mean, you're supposed to learn something as you go. I mean, I knew guys at Pullman that were welders that could tell you chapter and verse about economics and war history and you name it. I mean, they were fanatics on knowledge just because they were welders and make them a dummy. I mean, what the Yiddish word used to be, a mensch. You're supposed to know something about everything so you can help people out no matter what it is or something like that. Anyway. But I mean, Carl mentioned, and a few other guys have that have been coming in, Wayne does all the time, that when you get into Congress, there's like this, what was the Rubicon, the river that Caesar crossed? I mean, if you're a representative for two or three or four terms, you almost got to make a decision whether you're going to be this, and I don't want you to get involved with, you know, get into the term limits, but there's a spot where you're either going to start taking the real money and getting some real power, or you're just one of the bottom 100, and you go out and have a few beers every night and think you're a representative, but you really, you know, you're at the ass end of the two committees you're on. Nobody pays any attention to you. You've never put a bill in. You're just a bump. You're a pimple on the ass of an elephant, basically. You just sort of make this decision that you're all in to the next group, the top 100 or top 50, that is being bought and paid for. Every lobbyist knows your name, and they're in your, you know, and they can't wait to give you some cash. You cross over into this other group, and I don't know that at that point those guys, they can even make a decision because they've been bought and paid for. But I mean, I don't see how it's even possible right now. I sure hope we don't need to. I don't think it's even possible for the government to walk out one day and say, you know, I still hope they're right. They walk out on these vaccines and stuff and say, you know, we've been pushing a little too hard on this. We need to back off just a hair. I mean, I don't see how with the money that Pfizer and Moderna, mostly Pfizer, has poured into the place, where every study is being done by Pfizer, it seems like, at least the ones that get published. I don't see how they get in so deep. You know, it's like we're down so low, it's starting to look like up. I don't know that at some point you can turn that bus around. I mean, that's the sense I'm getting, but I'm not there. I don't know, but once money gets into the fray, all semblance of truth seems to wander out the door, doesn't it? It seems to me.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say, and I think you're identifying, you know, the lobbyists. Influence is probably you know, has a lot to do with it too. I mean, you can buy silence, but I think ignorance and influence probably are the two things that explain your frustration with our policymakers and their inability to bring these subjects, you know, front and center. Sometimes it's just not good politics, you know.
But I mean,
you see it with what like Manchin is going through right now. You know, sometimes you just want to get your car out of the garage, you know, without being hassled by some, you know, TikTok protester.
Well, yeah, but by the same token, they don't go out of their way. I don't have a. One of the funniest stories was who was the dour face? Oh God, the dour face Supreme Court justice. Did he just die or quit or something? The guy was at the house in Vermont.
Dower.
He always looked like he was.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about. He looked like the guy in American Gothic, where the farmer couple. He looked like that guy. That was his name. Anyway,
the Grant Wood name. Yeah.
But they made the landmark decision. There used to be something somewhere buried in the Constitution that has to do something about eminent domain, essentially, if your house is in the way of an expressway, you know, they could, with fair price, they can take your house, right? I mean, it's eminent domain. Well, now, but then it got to the point where if you had a food store, they could condemn your food store and, like, give it to Walmart, which is another food store, which by anybody's stretch is not, I don't think, what anybody intended by eminent domain.
Right.
So the Supreme Court said, oh, yeah, you can do that. And the guy, no, I don't think people should be trespassers or anything. The guy, this particular Supreme Court justice, had his tremendous home in Vermont that he used to go on, you know, on weekends and stuff. Well, some guy snuck onto his property and nailed this big sign on the wall, Walmart coming this way, or something like that. And, you know, I don't think we should get in the habit of doing that stuff. But somewhere along the line, these guys have to understand that this could be them. You know, that it does affect people. I mean, I don't want every time a senator goes out to dinner, people, you know, jumping around his table and throwing signs in his face. I mean, I don't want that. But I also don't want somebody to not ever see what the other people are going through either. I don't know what the middle ground is there. Do you?
Well, no, but I think we probably penned, the name, you know, for this, platform, the Populist Economist. I think, you know, people like you who continue to talk about some of these issues, you know, are doing that service because, you know, most people don't think about it unless they're standing at that pump, you know, looking up at the price while they're pumping gas.
David Souter is the guy's name. Remember him?
Oh, you brought something up earlier, and oddly enough, I wouldn't know this otherwise, but this came up, we were doing some research for this upcoming inflation issue, and that is you asked about, because we're looking at the calendar of historical releases, and forever and ever the PPI came out before the CPI for a long, long time.
Yep.
And I think it was maybe about 15 years ago that started to flip over, and then the CPI started to release before the PPI, and there didn't seem to be any reason or announcement associated with it. But the Bureau of Labor Statistics, who, you know, publishes both those numbers, basically accounted for that several years ago. They spoke to the improvements of the data collection process, basically. It was all done manually. You know, everything was done manually with paper going back and forth. But, 15, 20 years ago, things started to change with these kind of handheld pen pad computers that would allow them to deploy results directly to Washington on the prices of different things instead of filling out paper forms and sending them in to Washington via mail. So the bottom line is CPI data, which comes from, you know, comes from the field, you know, comes from retailers. That data is more forthcoming and is being transmitted quicker and easier, and consequently being released earlier. And that's the only reason why now CPI releases before PPI.
Yeah, except this week PPI is coming out first. I'm saying they keep flipping.
Yeah, exactly, right.
So why are they flipping? I guess I still
I don't know. Oh, it's a supply chain issue.
Yeah, God. I have a question for you. I mean, if you're doing this, now you couldn't do this. I mean, because you're, like I say, you got the, you're the honest man kind of guy. How is it that, we can still put out, I'm trying to find it here on the absolute list. How is it that everybody, I mean, only a dummy, I mean, you'd have to be underneath a rack. If you're living in the Unabomber's house, was he Idaho or was he Wyoming? He was Idaho, right?
That is Montana.
Montana? Well, that's the difference.
Montana, yeah, right.
You know, that guy grew up two blocks from me.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I remember. He was, that's right, he was from here, yeah.
He was from Evergreen, he went to Evergreen Park High School, which is a, you know, it's a nice school. I mean, I don't remember them being, plus the guy's, you know, older than we are. I don't remember them having any sort of a math advanced thing there at all. I mean, I went to summer school there a couple of times, took typing and stuff, and he was a math genius. So he went to Harvard at age 16 out of Evergreen Park High School. I don't know how he ever could have got discovered there. I have no idea. But he went to Harvard at age 16. I mean, he came out of a frame house on 89th and Utica. I mean, no, let's put it this way: I was pretty good in math in the neighborhood. I don't know, the idea that there was somebody there who was a math genius going to Harvard at 16. I never saw anybody like that, but the guy did, and he was in Harvard. Put him in these experimental drug, LSD, mind expanding drug stuff.
Current thoughts on this?
They're the ones that kind of screwed the door up. Anyway, I'm looking at the CPI here from last month, and they've got. A rent of primary residence year over year is 2.4%. How does somebody that we pay their salary, Jeff, how does somebody put out a 2.4% number where everybody knows that the price of housing is up, what is it, 20% in the last 15 months or something? How do you put out a 2.4% number when you know the number is 20?
Yeah. No explanation for that.
I
guess that's what you call a lagging indicator.
Well, that brings up, well, that's funny, Jeff, you are so perceptive. That's exactly my next question. Is there going to be an adjustment one of these months where we see like a 1.5% CPI number and just be shocked the hell out of people? I mean, I hope not.
Right. And then the Fed comes out and says, well, we had no choice. The number was in our face. Like,
well, but here's what's interesting. If you look at the rent of shelter number totally, is 32%, but the rent of primary residence is 7.6, which is, I'm going to say that everybody's number, owner's equivalent rent is 23% of somebody's basket. I'm going to say that, I don't know, do you know of anybody who's bought a house recently where the mortgage is only 23% of their spending? I mean, it seems a little light, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, that's a tough one, but there's no question that the housing, particularly new construction, I mean, we all know those numbers. And by the way, those higher lumber prices and copper prices, you know, that hasn't abated any materially. Because even though the prices have come down a little bit since they spiked, but now there's supply chain disruptions which are making them less accessible. So there's still a premium. So the new construction and housing prices are materially higher. So it can't account for a 2.4% number.
So Jeff, we only have a minute, but this is what I would do. I wouldn't.
Well, here, then I got a minute. I got a question for you.
Fire away.
The 50th person in Chicago was charged with murder or attempted murder while on felony bond. 50 people now on felony bond have been charged with murder. What is wrong? What are we doing wrong over there? What is Kim Fox doing?
Jeff, I don't know. That other than the inflation, that is the absolute target of conversation all over this town. I mean, what is going on? You know how many people were arrested last month? I was just looking at Hey Jackass, the review of the month. Two people were arrested for murder the whole month.
Jesus.
Oh. I mean, this is insanity. My buddy who does all kinds of defense work, he says these are now, they're not even gangs like we used to think. He goes, none of this is even in the news. These are roving groups of people that are coming off various blocks. There may be 5 and 10 people in a group. There's no, you can't go to a Jeff Fort and say, hey, lay off this place at Mount Carmel High School or Mendel or something. You can't, there's nobody to even talk to or negotiate to. It's scattered bands of people that are like 20 to 20 or 18 to, not even that, the younger kids are blower, from 15 to 25. There's nobody to even talk to. There's the idea that they're all like really good kids and there's some rehab going on here. It's not even close, Jeff. I mean, we're not even on that planet. I mean, the carjackings and all the other stuff. I mean, it's insane. But yeah, well, maybe we'll talk about some of that next week. Because is it ruining a city? I mean, what's the bottom line? Nobody want to live here? SP Futures up 1, NASDAQ Futures up 47. When is the magazine coming out? You're still a few weeks away, right?
Yeah, we're a couple weeks away. We'll give you a heads up next week.
Okay, take care of yourself. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.